Ruchama Boyim to the new series of this is going to be a new series of shiurim of lectures on the part of the Megillah Nevuchah and the part of the Guide for the Perplexed on what is usually called the Tamei HaMitzvahs, the reason for the mitzvahs. The Rambam in the Megillah Nevuchah over many chapters in the third chelik, the third section, presents a comprehensive philosophy which lays the foundation for what he believes is an explanation or a rationale behind just about all the mitzvahs in the Torah. This is one of the most difficult, probably for sure the most I shouldn't call it controversial, but certainly one of the most challenging sections of the Guide for the Perplexed. And the Mitzvah Shem, throughout the following lectures in Shiurim, I hope to, you know, go through this, and we hope to really try to understand exactly what the Rambam wants to tell us. In any case, in my humble opinion, the chapters which deal with the Tamei HaMitzvahs begin, as I said before, in the third chelik, in the third section of the Megillah Nevuchim, on chapter 25, Perek Chaf Hei. So, as we've done in the previous shiurim, I'm going to have in front of me the Schwartz edition of the Megillah Nevuchim. So, actually, the Schwartz edition, this is actually page 508. It appears in the second volume, on page 508. And beginning with Perek Chaf Hei, the Rambam develops the philosophy underlying his program for giving a rationale for the mitzvahs of the Torah. After he explains the rationale, provides the philosophical foundation for the rationale for the mitzvahs, the Tamei HaMitzvahs, that's from Perek Chaf Hei till Perek Lamed Dalet, right, 10 chapters. Then after that, in Perek Lamed Hei, these constitute introductions. So we have actually 10 chapters which constitute introductions, which the Rambam actually philosophically, proves philosophically why there is something called Tamei HaMitzvahs. And then beginning with Perek Lamed Hei, the Rambam actually goes into the mitzvahs d'oraisa themselves. The Rambam in Perek Lamed Hei itself, which begins in page 542 in the Schwartz edition, divides the mitzvahs into 14 categories, and then he goes onwards and explains, you know, basically the rationale for all the mitzvahs in all of these categories. So we have a lot of work in front of us, and the Mitzvah Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach, Siyata D'Shmaya, we hope to explain at least the most salient points, the most fundamental points, which underline the Rambam's opinion and his shittas regarding this very, very important issue. Okay, now, it's interesting that this is a part of the Megillah Nevuchim that's really not discussed very, very much. Most people actually come in contact with it at all because of a few Rambans on the Torah. There's a Ramban in Parshas Vayikra, and there's a Ramban regarding the Kabbanis, and there's also Ramban in Parshas Kiseitse in Shiloh HaKen. And those two Rambans, the Ramban actually takes issue with the Rambam that there are Tamei HaMitzvahs. In other words, most people, in fact, actually come in contact with the Megillah Nevuchim through the Parshas Ramban on the Chumash. The fact is, though, is that by learning the Megillah Nevuchim through the Ramban, one does not really get the full picture of what the Rambam meant by the Tamei HaMitzvahs. So, in other words, even though I will, Mitzvah Hashem, get to and refer to the Ramban, the limud of the Tamei HaMitzvahs, the section of the Megillah Nevuchim, is something that, in my opinion, extends, you know, beyond the impression one gets from learning the Megillah Nevuchim through the Ramban's Perash al HaChumash. So it's important that, just by, you know, looking at what the Ramban says about the Rav of the Megillah Nevuchim, doesn't give a person any sense of really what the entirety of the issues are when a person learns in the Megillah Nevuchim. It's interesting, too, is that, once again, I'm not claiming to have seen all the literature, even really all the literature, that the section dealing with the Tamei Mitzvahs is not really discussed b'chlal in detail by the Mefarshim, either the traditional medieval Mefarshim or even by the modern scholarly works on the Rambam. I think that most works on the Rambam really focus on the sections on creation or the sections perhaps on negative theology. There seems to be, I'm saying this, I hope maybe some of the scholars who might be listening to this, if you're still listening to this, maybe you'll send in your critique of this, but it doesn't. But if a person would actually weigh the amount of that which has been written on the Tamei HaMitzvahs, I think, then the amount of scholarship that's spoken about the sections dealing either with, you know, with creation or with negative theology, or perhaps with how the Rambam treats mice in the cover. In other words, I don't see really where, in fact, those people who have studied the Magen Avraham Vilchem, either in traditional, what you would say, non-traditional ways, have really focused sufficiently on the Rambam's Tamei HaMitzvah. So I think it's worthwhile, just in other words, to open up this, because I think there's a very, very many important themes over here in the Tamei HaMitzvahs. In addition to that, I think it's very, very interesting to note that the Tamei HaMitzvahs, in a certain sense, is the last section of the Magen Avraham. In other words, the Magen Avraham contains several sections. I mean, the Rambam is a section, of course, on explaining certain psukim, which appear to smack of anthropomorphism. The Rambam tells us how to learn the psukim. Then there's the section that deals with the Rambam's proof of God's existence as an incorporeality, and the section of negative theology. That was the series of shurim that we gave previous to this. Then there's the section regarding creation. Then there's a section regarding prophecy. And then there's a section at the beginning of the third, beginning of Chedek Shlishi, the third volume of the Rambam, the first section of the Rambam. There, Rambam speaks about Ma'isa Kava, then he goes into the issues of free will. And after the issue of free will, beginning on Parachaf Hei, and speaking about God's knowledge, which is related to free will. Free will is actually in Perek Yud Zayin. Through Chafei speaks about God's knowledge, God's idea. And then through Perek Chav Dalet, through chapter 24. And then in Perek Chafei, he actually goes to the Tamei HaMitzvahs. And really, after the Tamei HaMitzvahs are the concluding chapters of the Magen Avraham, which would seem to me to suggest, given the fact that there is a structure to the book, that in fact, the different sections of the Magen Avraham are actually building up to a climax, which is the Tamei HaMitzvahs. And finally, the final chapters after the Tamei HaMitzvahs are really sort of like the Rambam's conclusion, the Rambam's, you know, final thesis, his final message, you know, after he's put together. So in other words, and I think this is going to be very significant in understanding the Tamei HaMitzvahs. In other words, where do the Tamei HaMitzvahs fit into the rest of the Magen Avraham is very, very important. Even the Rambam, at the end of Parachaf Hei, says, and I'm going to read this over now, just in case you think I'm just making this up, on page 512, at the end of chapter 25, the Rambam says, if you think about what I'm saying, you think about the chapters that came before this chapter, that are connected with this, then you're going to, etc., etc. In other words, the Rambam clearly is telling us here at the end of chapter 25 that in order to understand chapter 25, we in fact actually have to reflect upon chapters that were written that appear before this chapter. So in other words, it's clear that the Tamei HaMitzvahs is not an isolated section of the Magen Avraham in and of itself, but it's actually built upon important themes that the Rambam has been imparting throughout the entire Magen Avraham. In other words, one person really cannot come to the Tamei HaMitzvahs and learn it, learn it as a limud in and of itself, unless he already has, has put together important, has a wide-ranging knowledge and, according to the Rambam, certainly an understanding of the previous chapters of the Magen Avraham. And in fact, actually, as we see in chapter 25, the Rambam for sure is going to make very important either explicit or implicit references to what he said in previous sections of the Magen Avraham. As I mentioned, I'm going to point out this, but that's very important. In other words, the important yusoid is that the Tamei HaMitzvahs does not exist in a vacuum. It's actually, in a certain sense, a consequence, in part, of themes and ideas that the Rambam has actually been developing in the rest of the Magen Avraham. Okay, that's good to know. Now, of course, we haven't done the entire part of Vochem. We've only done the negative theological part of Vochem and the creation part of Vochem, but that's good enough. I think actually we've done enough parts of Vochem that put us in a position that we can understand the Tamei HaMitzvos. Okay, so B'yosef Hashem Yisbarach, let us begin on page 508, chapter 25, with, in fact, the Tamei HaMitzvos. Like I said before, chapter 25 begins the Tamei HaMitzvos. Chapter 24 speaks about the concept of Nisayon, which has to do with free will. So it's clear that, you know, there's a clear delineation between where the Rambam speaks about free will and Schar V'Oinesh, and where the Rambam begins the Tamei HaMitzvos. Okay, now, Perek Chafei, page 508, the Shavuot edition, Chelek Shlishi. Hamaisim mitchalkim la'arba kavutzos. Right? All actions can be divided into four categories. Right, in accordance to the way, if we contemplate the purpose of actions, then we can divide them into four categories. Says the Rambam, what is four categories? Ma'isishav. I guess I would call in English an action in vain, or a purposeless action. Ma'isa mischak, a action whose purpose is purely comical. Maisa Levatola, an action that basically is, as Rambam says, Levatola means that a person is going to do something with a certain intention and the intention is never reached. Or Maisa Tovi Yafa, or an action which is Tovi Yafa. Okay. Now, says the Rambam like this, Maisa Koi Levatola. What's a Maisa Levatola? Who Maisa Shoiseo Miskavim Bola Tachas Besuyamas. A person does a certain thing with a personal purpose. But Taklazoi's inable seconds. He doesn't reach it. What happens is a person has a certain goal in mind. He initiates an action, but the action doesn't reach the goal. Okay? So Ram says this is using the vernacular. I tried in vain. You tried looking for a person, you tried in vain. You can't find him. Or basically, you go on a business trip, you come up empty-handed. Okay? Oymen, people say, ishtadluseinu l'man ha'choyle hazeh ha'isil v'atala. Where we tried to heal this sick person and we weren't successful. So this is called, kashir loy musekas hachlava. Basically, when the sick person is got well. Ken kol ha'maisim v'akshim mehem tachliyos oysen tachliyos edem musokas. Basically, a person who does an act with a certain purpose in mind, the purpose not achieved, that's called a Maisa Levatola. Now, Maisa Shav, I'm calling it a vain action. I'm using the word vain because, rooted in me in my education was a Shvur Shav, which means to not use my name in vain. I guess is that the King James translation? Whatever. Okay. Maisa Shav, or Maisa Shav, is capable of Tachas Kol Yisrael. A person does something with no purpose whatsoever. Some people do things with their hands when they're thinking, but what they're doing with their hands is no tachlis, even though it could have a tachlis, it could possibly that it helps me think, but whatever it is, basically, or people that datum musachas might be like, yeah, be crazy people, or people confused, whatever it is. When you see me on the screen, sometimes you see me shuckling. Okay, that's a case of a Maisa Shav. Although there's supposed to be a spiritual content to shuckling too, but anyway, whatever it is. Now, Maisa Mischak, an action, a comic action. Well, Maisa Yuskadim with a Tachla Shfala. So the Rambam, Maisa Mischak is basically, there's a lowly purpose in this. There's no real positive purpose achieved here. The person dances, and he doesn't dance for the purpose of exercise. Who does things to make fun, even though the word Kedusha says, Lokad Lafana, you can become a Shanisha with this. But in any case, that's because people pay money for it. But in any case, Lamais is a Kohen Beli Safek Mischak. It's called a game. Right? Zeh Shoyne. Right? Because the Rambam says it will all be relative. V'im nechutzim klali binyani acherim. Kegon is amlus l'midim shem. Because a person can exercise. So it's good for the person to exercise, and other people might not find it so important. And et cetera, so the Ram goes on, I'm not going to finish the paragraph, that this is called a Maisa Mischa. Now, very nice. Now, what is the category, the important category, that, you know, the Ram is going to, of course, attribute to a Kodesh Baruch Hu? And that the Ram speaks about on page 509. Maisa Tovi Yofa. What's a Maisa Tovi Yofa? The Ram is a Tovi Yofa. Who Maisa Shoseo Oseo Oseo Mito Kavon L'Tachlis Nala. For a sublime purpose. For a constructive purpose. Gloimar, Hechleches. Either it's, you know, either it's needed, right? It's vital. Or Ma'ila, or it's beneficial. For Oseo Tachlis Busekes. And, in fact, not only is it beneficial or needed, but in fact, actually, it's achieved. So in other words, that's called Maisa Tovi Yofa. Could possibly be his usage of Tovi Yofa basically is alluding to the fact that there's a proper purpose involved and it's achieved. Tovi means a proper purpose and Yofa means, you know, he achieved it. Zoisi chaluka shenirali she'ish lo yachol achlek aleh b'shem davar. Okay, it says the Rambam, this is a category that no one can argue on, namely what? When a person does a Maisa Tovi Yofa, no one can argue that it's Tovi Yofa. In other words, it's clear, says the Rambam, it's clear what a person's intentions are, and we can decide, is it a good intention, not a good intention, is it constructive, not constructive. Secondly, it's pretty clear the person achieved it or not achieved it. So it was when Rambam says Zosi Chaluka Shirli Shishlo Yichol Chalik Aleb Shum Dava means is that it's very easy to categorize, right? A Maisa Tovi Yofa. We just ask ourselves two questions: what was the purpose? Was it good or was it not good? If it's not good, right? Was it achieved? Was it not achieved? In other words, once we've clearly answered this question, which the Rambam clearly answered, so we can very easily categorize what the Rambam calls Maisa Tovi Yofa. Okay, up to now, good. We all agree with the Rambam, right? I don't think there's any novel in the Chidushim. What does that have to do with Kodesh Baruch Hu, mitzvahs, Moshe Rabbeinu? Says the Rambam. I'm now in paragraph 3 on page 509 in the Schwartz edition. La'acha havharas davazeh. After I've declared this. You can't say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does something which is either Levatala, which means that he tried something he didn't succeed, Oshav, or it's vain, there's no purpose in it, or Mizrach, he does things, you know, for comedy. You can't say that about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. L'datenu anu, right? Our opinion is, says the Rambam, Kol ha'ochim be'ikvas Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. Ah, very interesting. He invokes Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. Whoever follows the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, Maisav kulam tovim v'yafin, has to assume that the acts of God are necessarily tovim v'yafin, meaning that there is a positive, tachlis, purpose, intended. That's number one. To pop, right? And number two, that whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu intends to do will be successful. He achieves it. Says the Rambam, right? How do we know this? So the Rambam invokes a pasuk of the Torah. V'yam lakim es kol asher asah, v'inei toiv b'ayit. Pasuk in Bereishis. Clearly, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu saw his actions as being toiv. So this means that Kodesh Baruch Hu's acts, not only in my Bereishis, but in general, are acts which you can define have a positive purpose. A tachlis is a positive purpose. In addition to that, you know, says the Rambam, are matzliach, are successful. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Tchumi says this after Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. L'chein kol ma'isi sh'akel oitzish klun shem dover. Hichrechi l'metzius ha'dover hu ha'machuven o mo'il ma'oi. Everything Kodesh Baruch Hu does is either vital to the existence of the thing that he creates, or mo'il ma'oi is beneficial, very beneficial. Rambam says, "L'mashal, for example, tzunas balayachayim echechin l'shem hiskadusam. For example, the nourishment of animals is vital for them to survive. Mitzius einayim lahem o'il ma'oil hiskadusam. And of course, having eyes, for example, is very good for them to survive. It's not let's say vital, but the person, if an animal can't see, then can't perceive things, then it's going to be very difficult for them to survive. In a kabbalah zuna ela hisradus balechayim bemeshach tkuvas ma. We're speaking about the animal lasting for a certain amount of time. Okay, so in a way, basically, the Rambam says that factually, for example, if you look at the natural world, you'll see that, you know, things that, you know, animals are capable of doing, Kodesh Baruch Hu provides that animals have basic, you know, vital functions which are necessary or either helpful for their existence, for their survival. Okay, now, the opinion of the philosophers. Now, very interesting. The Rambam here first brought Taylor Sebastian Rabbeinu, and then he brings the position of the philosophers, which means that the Rambam is clearly saying that in this case, the opinion of the Taylor Sebastian Rabbeinu and the opinion of the philosophers converge. In other words, the philosophers agree that even in the natural world, there are not creations, there are not natural things that you say are what's called bechina shav, meaning that they're without purpose. Between everything which is natural. Because everything that exists in nature has a certain purpose. Whether we know the purpose or we don't know the purpose. Okay, now, so it's the Rambam, this is the opinion of the philosopher. Why is it being the philosophers? Because there's an opinion of people who disagree with this. Okay? Kas zoi shabali iyun, a group of people who are called bali iyun, a group of thinkers, philosophers, we call them, strictly speaking, philosophers, a group of people who think, who are thinkers, hatoyanim shakel in ois dava echa the shame dava acher. They say that God doesn't do something for something else. You can't ascribe a purpose to what God does. In other words, when Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, there is no clear or implicit or causality. Everything in the world is because Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it as such. In other words, the world does not express any type of a premeditated or that the human beings can fathom a premeditated reason. But rather, all a person can look at the world and say, that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. V'ein levakish b'em tachlis. We shouldn't look for a tachlis. We shouldn't look for a purpose in things that Kadosh Baruch Hu does. V'ein l'shol l'shem ma'asa. We shouldn't say why he did this. Elo oisa mashu roitza v'ein zeh toim l'chokhma. It was basically, but the Rambam, I think, to be fair, the Rambam certainly agree. They're not claiming Kadosh Baruch Hu is, chas v'shalom, not intelligent. But what they're saying is that a human being, right, is incapable of apprehending, right, what were God's intentions, what was his purpose in creating or doing things. Rather, we have to explain that everything that happens in the world, that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted and became the explanation. So, Harela Shitasim Sha'alalo Maisa Kel Neftasim Begeda Shav. So, it says the Rambam, a person... Is that the way the person looks at the acts of God? So it turns out that from our standpoint, the acts of God appear to be acts which are in vain. V'af nochis b'ashev, even worse than acts of in vain. He oisa shav enu miskabla tachas v'taitim usachas b'mashu oisa. L'akel, shitozu shalalo yodeh es mashu oisa. Miskabla noi, l'lo tachas klav loy tuel. In other words, he's a person of vain actions even though he's doing it. But Kadosh Baruch Hu was consciously doing an action without a purpose. Now, the fact that who are these people? So, I see that on the bottom, Professor Schwartz, in footnote number 10, brings a reference to the Ash'ariya, which was an Islamic group, and he says, Ayin la'el chelak alo perak an ayin gimel. There the Rambam is blessing the Kalam, is probably including the Ash'ariya with the Kalam, with great respect to Professor Schwartz. I'm not really sure why he only brought that reference. If it was up to me, Treebits, I would actually say that the reference is used to the Ash'ariya, which the Rambam actually brings in Chelek Shlishi, in Perak Yud Zayin, chapter 17. In other words, 8 chapters before chapter 25, in Perak Yud Zayin, the Rambam discusses the different opinions of what's called divine providence, Hashkacha, divine providence. The Rambam brings four opinions. He brings the, this actually begins on page 474. He brings the opinion of, of Aristotle, and then he brings several other opinions. The third opinion, which he brings, is the opinion of the Asharia. And I think it's worth it actually looking here at page 476. The Asharia claimed that when God does something, right, exactly when God does something, in other words, everything is Baratzon, and you can't really, in other words, there isn't any, a human cannot possibly fathom or understand what was God's intention. So according, what comes out from the Asharia is that when God punishes or rewards, it appears to be purely by random. In other words, God will, you know, punish a person, for no reason. He'll punish a tzaddik, says the Rambam, or he will reward an evil person. In other words, and Rambam, of course, is very much against this, because the Rambam says that, the opinion of the Torah is that the Kodesh Baruch Hu rewards people only if they do mitzvahs, and punishes people only if they do aveilus. In other words, the Rambam says that the purpose of the Torah is that Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes rewards or acts providentially to people only in accordance with their actions, which makes free will, something which is significant and important. According to Asharia, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, will punish people, for no reason, and will reward people for no reason. And you cannot explain why Kodesh Baruch Hu punish this person, reward this person. Is that was the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In modern language, it would mean like everything is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This actually sounds very similar to the extreme Hasidic position of, let's say, of the Ishbitzer of Reb Tzadik, that basically there's no free will because everything is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the only, I think, way a person can reach free will is understand that really he has no free will. In other words, basically, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in other words, there's no rhyme and reason for everything that's done. Everything is the Ratzon Hashem. So, in other words, now, of course, the Rambam, of course, was living in a time when, this was, pre-Tzimtzum, and, there wasn't this imminent spiritual context which, interfered with man's rational, relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. But nonetheless, the analogy is, in my opinion, very, very clear. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is the Asharia do not attribute to actions to God which can be understood rationally by a human being. When a person looks what God does, in other words, there's no way that a person can rationally evaluate and understand the motive and purpose in any action of God. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu does what he wants. That's it. Ratzon Hashem. I beat you. I kill you. I molest you. Ratzon Hashem. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that this is the opinion of Asharia. Now, what's interesting is, the Rambam picks them against the opinions of the philosophers, which we'll speak about in a little while, but in any case, it's clear that the Asharia had their adherence among the Jewish people, and they were from people, but these were from people who made a claim that acts of God are not subject to a rational understanding by a human being. In other words, when a person sees an act of God, he cannot possibly comprehend what was the purpose, and what was the motive, what was the purpose, and what was achieved. So in other words, basically, we'll see this a little bit later, Mitzvah, the Asharia, of course, when it comes to the Tamei Mitzvah, is going to claim that there's no way that a person could possibly understand why Kodesh Baruch Hu, commands a mitzvah. The Tamei Mitzvah, according to the Asharia, certainly will be things which are completely, hidden from us. A person cannot even attempt to say like this. As the Rambam, this is a ideology that extends not only in the reason for the mitzvah, an ideology that extends in every aspect, including probably physics, right, and extends in free will and providence, and in particular extends in Tamei Mitzvah, which means that really, and we've spoken about this previously, the Rambam in the beginning of the Moed Avuchim, certainly in this Michtav to the Talmud, his letter to his Talmud Yosef, makes it abundantly clear that his purpose in Moed Avuchim, one of the main purpose, was to attack the Kalam. He was trying to save his beloved former Talmud Yosef from being entrapped by what the Rambam felt was the philosophical hashkafic danger of that, you know, of the Kalam. And the fact is that if you look at, a good part of the Beit Levuchim is in fact actually an attack upon the Kalam, whether it be in Rambam discusses in creation. We spoke about this, you know, the Rambam speaks about this actually in Providence. You know, many parts of the Beit Levuchim are a clear attack on the Kalam. We see that here clearly the Rambam in the Tamei HaMitzvahs is making a top of the Kalam. The Asharia, it doesn't call it the Kalam because of the Asharia, but the Asharia are really sort of like they are philosophically kin, you know, they have a philosophical affinity to the Kalam. The Kalam really rests upon Asharia type philosophies. So in other words, basically, right, it's clear that the Rambam, not only in expounding the Tamei HaMitzvahs, also has an agenda, because there are those who would argue with him. The Rambam is claiming that those who argue with him are not arguing with Tamei HaMitzvahs, but arguing on him and his entire, you know, Weltanschauung, the Beit Levuchim, which is anti-Kalam. Okay? Okay, fine. Now. Yeah, question.
Do the Kalam deny the fact that all God's actions are purposeful or with purpose?
The Kodesh Baruch Hu has a purpose, but we can't understand the purpose. We don't know the purpose. He says, Yodeh Esmashu was, he knows what he's doing. The Rambam says, according to Kalam, Asharia. But it's clear it's the Kalam. In Parakai and Gimel, it makes it clear it's the Kalam. Kodesh Baruch Hu intensely does things, but he does it without Tachlis and without Toelis. Now, what does that mean? I can't believe they claim that Kodesh Baruch Hu has no toelis. I think that basically there's no rationally perceived toelis. That's what I would say. That's what I would say. In Perek Yud Zayin, in chapter 17, what's the Rambam's attack? What's his objection to the Kalam? Besides the fact that there's a psukim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rambam's psukim, and says Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything bad, right? You know. But besides that too, I understand in Parak Zion very, very much. Because Baruch Hu just punishes people, you know, and there doesn't seem to be any, you know, he punishes Sadiqa and he rewards Rishayim. So man's free will basically becomes irrelevant. In other words, man can have free will, but what's the purpose of doing a mitzvah? If I do a mitzvah, I'm gonna be slammed. Or if I do an Aveira, I might be rewarded. In other words, the way I understand that I'm in Parak Zion is that my free will, right, is being compromised, because even though Kodesh Baruch Hu gives me free will, it's not significant. In other words, my free will is significant only if there's a consequence in divine providence which comes from an act of free will. In other words, if I do a bit, so I'm rewarded, and if I do a veda, a punishment, right? If I do something bad, I'm punished. So my free will is significant. But if I do a mitzvah, I'm always punished. I do a veda, I'm always rewarded. So what's the point of my free will? It's a joke. Now, what's going to be interesting is that the Rambam in the Tamei HaMitzvahs, and when we get to this, we'll speak about this. Actually, we're going to speak about this, I think in Perek Lamed Beis. Rambam's going to make the same notion that got to be Tamei HaMitzvahs. Rambam's going to say that, making a point is, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot change a person's nature. In other words, that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu, for example, brought the Klal Yisrael Derech Eretz Plisht. He didn't bring Derech Eretz Plisht. Why not? Just make them not afraid. So Rambam makes an incredible statement there, that a person's, there was, Kodesh Baruch Hu can't change a person's nature. What does that mean, can't change a person's nature? You can do anything. The answer is, like, what claim is, the Rambam Shita, in the Rambam's opinion of Beit Levuchim, right, is abundantly clear in every place. Free will is a important theme in the entire Beit Levuchim. Without free will, there's no point in anything. There's no point in mitzvahs, etc., etc. Kodesh Baruch Hu, in a certain sense, I'm saying this, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu has to toe the line to man's free will. If there are compromises in man's free will, right, there's no point in anything.
But there are, we see in the world, that it's not with a clear...
So the Rambam would claim, so the Rambam does address this in Prakim that follow chapter 17, which we haven't spoken about Providence. The Rambam claims that God's knowledge is infinite, and that's the reason why sometimes we see that, you know, people see the tzaddik to suffer. But we shouldn't think, chas v'shalom, a tzaddik suffers because he hasn't sinned. And just his suffering. For example, there's an entire sukkah in Brachos about, you know, Yisum Shal Abba, says the Rambam, that's the Asharia. I see, it's not called an Islamic opinion, but he's saying is that we don't hold from that sugya. Because Baruch Hu doesn't give you suin shalava. You know, as everybody learns brachas, you know, learns suin shalava, the Rabbim says basically, you know, throughout the sugya, at least it's not, as far as I'm concerned, it's not halacha lemaisa. Okay?
Not for sure.
Okay, now, up till now, everything is easy. Everything's easy. Sounds good. Everything's easy. But we're going to see that things are actually much more complicated than we thought. In fact, actually, we're going to see what the Rambam has said here has basically contradicted major things he said up to now in the Megillah Brachot. Okay? Baruch Hashem, the Sefer is always full of surprises. Okay, now. Okay? Goes to the Rambam finally finishes this, but here, Risha, Nika, it's clear, Eif Shad, the Kosh Bokal's actions are for the purposes of making fun, he didn't create the monkey to make people laugh, etc., etc. Right? And he says, why would people think like that? What would people think that God's actions are without a purpose? Mashamevi the Cholzem, the third line from the bottom, page 509. What a person think? Why would a person think God's actions are, you know, for some either some stupid purpose or in vain for no purpose? Why would a person think like that? Mashamevi the Cholzem, who Eidias Teva is Avos Akilian is Alamut Menaika. Who should call a Kavanah Avili David Cias and call Mash Evshashimotze. Basically, a person doesn't understand what nature is, how things come into being. That's going to be, basically what he's saying is that the problem with you who think God's acts are purposeless because really you don't know science, you don't know how nature works, which once again is the Kalam. The Kalam is basically an anti-Aristotelian movement. And Moshe Shana Mizeh Ein Chochmosa Yim Matzricha B'Shem Oifen L'chein Lo Nina B'tchashe B'chashe Dvom Noeg Ma Pi Moshe Matzricha Chochmosa. Okay, fine. Now, let's go page 510. Okay? We're going to have now, right? In other words, Rambam says, you look at the world, you see clearly that things, you know, operate or things exist and they behave and they move in accordance with a certain purpose. Okay, now, having said that, now we can begin really studying the chapter. Why was it on the chapter? Because the Rambam has basically contradicted himself. How has he contradicted himself? In other words, before we commence on page 510 on the third line, the second paragraph, what I want to do is I want to refer you back to chapter 13 in the third chelik, which in the Shavuot edition is on page 460. Okay? Major contradiction to everything the Rambam said up till now. Okay, let's read a little bit on page 460 that to convince you that the Rambam is making a majorly contradiction. Page 460, Parak Gimel, Chelek Shlishi. Le'itim koyves the vuchos da'ateim shel hashleim, b'bakoshem, ma'i tachas ha'metzius. Some people look, what's the purpose of creation? What's the purpose of reality? Is the world of a purpose? Hareini maz b'lecha, says the Rambam, sheshela zois b'teila lefi kol haskolos. Everybody agrees this is a stupid question. Oymarni, shekol poyel poyel b'kavona. Okay? Of course, every person who acts with intention. L'chein yesh b'echek taklis b'glola hu poyel. So a person does something, he has an attention when he acts. Doesn't require any proof. In other words, something that's created was created for a reason, with purposely. You can't say what was the purpose of God. God wasn't created. Okay, But what's the purpose of the most specific thing I can answer the purpose? But what's the purpose of all mitzvahs, of all of reality? Whether you believe in creation next to the Elam, you agree with Aristotle. You can't answer the purpose of the entire world. And it goes on. It's ridiculous. And people say, ah, the tachlis of creation is man. Says the Rambam on page 462, the last paragraph. He rejects that. Because if you say, God created wealth for man, so why did he create man? He created man to serve God? Why did God want man to serve God? In other words, the Rambam spends an entire chapter, Parak Yud Gimel, proving to us that you can't say that there's a purpose for which God created the world. There is no purpose. You can't say that. He spends an entire chapter of Parak Yud Gimel. Stila, a contradiction to everything we're saying over here. Now, you're going to say, we don't hold like that. So I want to be Megala Zayt. The Leshem holds like this. The Leshem, in the Sefer HaKlalim, unfortunately I don't have a Sefer HaKlalim in front of me, but I think it's in Klal Tezvav, says clearly, he brings a dispute between the Meir Nevuchim, the guy for the plaque, who says, there's no tachlis in creation. You can't say God created the world for any reason. And he brings the opinion of the Avodas HaKodesh, who attacks the Rambam, says Chas V'Shalom. And the Leshem says the Rambam's right. The Rambam's right, there is no tachlis. What about all the Chazals or the Zayas? Everything in Chazal that says Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world for man, for the Rosetta, the Leshem, in his tremendous brilliance, has an entire resolution of this question. But the Leshem understands that the Rambam, in and of itself, is correct. You can't rationally attribute any purpose to the creation of the world. Not even for man. Maybe in the Leshem, when we come to the Shulman the Leshem, we'll speak. In the Shulman the Leshem, we'll actually speak about this. One of the many cases where the Leshem resolves apparent contradictions between the Meir Nevuchim and the Kabbalah. In any case, given this, we have to raise a question. How could the Rambam bring in Parakhafei, the entire introduction, that in fact claims that Chas V'Shalom, you shouldn't say God's actions are purposeless. We see clearly that the position of Teres Meshe, that God's a person, God's actions are Toi V'Yofe, that God's actions are with purpose, with tachlis. How could he say this when 12 chapters before this, the Rambam, right, proves thoroughly that whatever point of view I take, either the point of view of the eternalists or the point of view of the creation ex nihilists, right, it's clear that one cannot possibly ascribe a purpose to God's creation. Okay? Now, with that introduction, let's begin the next paragraph. Okay? This is one of the reasons that the Rambam says you have to in fact actually reflect on what I've said in the previous chapters. In fact, what the Rambam is saying is, in chapter 13, I've said exactly the contradiction, 100 degrees opposite of what I'm saying now. So why don't you reflect upon that? Okay? So let's go to the second paragraph, the third line, page 510. Those who say, right, that there's no purpose in God's creation of the world, which the Rabbi himself said in chapter 13, they brought this as a proof, but was bainis ba'olam kulei behetim adaita. In other words, they did this after they reflected upon understanding the entire world. Basically, this was the Rambam himself did this. He's speaking about other people, speaking about himself. They say, what's the purpose of the world? Why does the world exist? So they say, right, that because we can't find a purpose for the entire world, right? So therefore, we have to believe necessarily that because Baal created the world ex nihilo, and he says, right? Then Rama says this opinion, right? In other words, the opinion that says there's no purpose in the world is going according to the opinion of those who believe that the world was created ex nihilo, and therefore, because of this, you have to say that everything is based upon God's will. Because in creation ex nihilo, since there's nothing before the world exists, so for sure, right, you can't, there can't be a previous tachlis because nothing exists. So you have to say that all of creation is just an expression of God's will, and there's no purpose. Now, the Rambam agrees with this. The Rambam agrees with this. I mean, the Rambam agrees that, you know, for sure, although the Rambam himself said that that opinion, there's no tachlis of the world, applies whether you believe in eternity or not. But let's even assume, right? But what do they say? But they do is they make a second step. Ella, right? So the Rambam is saying, okay, you can believe like this. However, what? Ella shehem mechilim zois al chol pirt ya'olam ad she'ein heim moidim she'naka ve'inbis v'shkufas akronis heim b'shvil she'takta ruach haroya ad she'yusag ma she'yusag. Basically, what the Rambam says the following thing. Rambam is like this. They think that because we can't answer the question, why did God create the entire world? Right? Because of that, there's no tachlis of what created the entire world, as the Rambam himself explained. So they claim that on every detail in the world, we have to say the same thing. Why did God create the film on top of the eye? That's what he's speaking about. They don't see there's a reason why an animal should see, or a person should see. Right? In other words, why was the eye created the way it was? That's what Kosh Baruch Hu wanted. In other words, like this. What is the Rambam really saying here? Well, the Rambam is saying is an incredible thing. There's a dichotomy, a reducible dichotomy here. Two dinim. What the Rambam is saying is, and this is very, very important, because obviously the Rambam is saying, if you ask for the purpose of all of creation, if you ask, why did God create a world at all? I mean, we haven't forgotten what the Rambam says. The Rambam answered very clearly in Perek Yud Gimel that you can't look for a tachlis. You can't answer that question. Looking for a tachlis, looking for a purpose, right, is a maisa shav, in vain. But it doesn't mean that if you ask, why did God create this detail? Why did he create the eye? Why did he create, I don't know, lungs? Why did he create... For that, you could give an answer. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is the people who think that nothing in the world has any rational motive which can be known by man, what they're doing is they're making a gzera shava. What they're doing is they're equating the purpose of creation as a whole and the purpose of the details of creation. What the Rambam is saying is the purpose of creation as a whole, right? You can't. It's true. You can't find a tachlis. The Rambam sees, and they identify that you can't find a tachlis, and therefore, because God created the world ex nihilo, and therefore you can't speak about a purpose for creation, because before creation there is no purpose, nothing before creation. And then on the basis of that, they say, well, just like God created the entire world without any purpose, it was just an expression of his will, so to every detail in the world is created just an expression of his will, without any purpose. The Rambam says you can't say that. He can't say why was the entire world created, why does there exist, why does the world exist? That we can't say. But we could say, why was this specific thing created? Yeah.
Surely, how can one draw a line like that? Surely the purpose of creation is the sum total of the purpose of all its parts. Why is an eye better than no eye? Because it helps one see. But why is seeing a good thing? So we'll go, and why is that? I mean, ultimately you're going to come to, the Rambam's going to make an irrational state where he says you can't ask any questions beyond that.
Right, okay, very, very good. Okay. So, in other words, your question is, how could the Rambam create two dinim here? In other words, how could the Rambam create two dinim here? Okay. So, I want to go back. Actually, I was going to explain this. When we get to the end of the parak, at the chapter. But since you asked the question, I'll explain it now. Okay? If you will remember, when we spoke about creation, we pointed to the fact that there were clear contradictions in the Rambam's attitude towards creation. You know, in other words, clearly in Parak Yud Gimel, the Rambam states clearly that the position of the Torah is, of course, we'll create the world ex nihilo, Mishbiyayim. On the other hand, I mean, for those of you who forget, or for those of you who are unaware, I refer to you to the, 24 classes gave on the act on creation. We came to the conclusion that, because the Rambam himself says at the end of chapter 30 of section 2, that there are four words that the Torah uses denoting a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and one of them is Koine, right? Koine Shemai Vaaretz. So the Rambam says, I think the language of Professor Shores was Zenoite Elakadmus. And the base of this, the opinion of yours truly was that the Rambam understood that there really isn't a dispute between the creation ex nihilists and the eternalists. But rather, we explained about the fact that there's two aspects, there's two dimensions to existence. When I look at the world, let's say from an objective scientific point of view, and I try to study the world, right? Then, in fact, right, I understand that the world is governed by natural law. And natural law, you know, doesn't reckon, creation ex nihilo is a contradiction to natural law. In other words, for sure, when I look at the world around me, in order for there to be a possibility of science, in order for the possibility that there's a rational dimension of the world that man can perceive, a person is forced to adopt the position of the eternalist. On the other hand, though, in order to allow for free will, then I have to make an assumption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is free will. The only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is free will is if he's not bound by the laws of nature. The only way that's true is if he created the world ex nihilo. In other words, my contention was that there's two aspects, there's two dinim. In fact, actually, I mean, we explained this very interestingly enough, is that the Rambam's proof of causing a plurality is based upon that the world's eternal. In other words, but I don't go into the details. The main thing is, the point that I tried to make in the 24 Shiurim is that, in other words, I have to look, my relationship to God in the world, right, involves two things which, even though they contradict each other, they're part of the way I relate both to God and the world. On the one hand, I have to believe absolutely in the concept of free will, which demands creation ex nihilo. On the other hand, though, the world has a rational structure which is intelligible to man, and that demands a concept of kadmos, because kadmos means that, what does kadmos mean? Kadmos means that everything created has a structure which underlines it. In other words, if I look, that's what I'm saying. If everything is created ex nihilo, there's no science. There's no explanation. In other words, science demands kadmos, eternity. But that's not a stila to God's creation of the world ex nihilo, because that's like this. The creation of the entire world, which is God's decision to create the entire world, that's creation ex nihilo, and that grants man's free will. And therefore, there can be mitzvahs, there can be Torah, there can be mitzvahs, there can be commandments. But for man to be able to study the world and to understand the world rationally, the Rambam certainly, right, was a big fan of this, of Aristotle's rational saying the world. I mean, the book is an attack on the Kalam. For the world to be rationally intelligible, right, then of course I have to implicitly take the position of eternity. And there's no contradiction between the things. So I want to claim when the Rambam says this, what the Rambam is saying is that there's two dinim, there's two laws, there's a irreducible economy, which is necessary for preserving what the Rambam said to be the rational philosophy of the Torah, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Namely, that I have to say that God created the world without purpose, because if there's a purpose for God's creation of the world, then that's a morality is enough for Krishna's Nilo. Considering the other opinion too. If I know when God created the world, then God becomes intelligent with the violation of negative theology. I can't say why God created the entire world. Or God wanted that's the entire chapters of negative theology. But on the other hand, though, to intelligently understand the world, if I look at the Pratim, if I look at the specific creations of each of the human beings, the plants, the animals, then certainly, in order for them to be rationally intelligible, I have to assume that God had a rational purpose in mind, and this purpose is expressed, right, through the structure and through the properties of things that I created. So in other words, what the Rambam is saying is the following thing. What I'm saying is the Asharia, the Kalam, whoever is attacking now, basically, don't understand the subtleties of the theology of the Megah Nevuchim, which demands both creation ex nihilo and both the eternity of the universe. They're not a contradiction to each other.
In other words, you can ask the purpose of creation or the need of creation from a scientific point of view, but not from an ethical point of view.
Right. You're like, right, that's ontology. In other words, what I can do is, like, Rambam's, I don't think it's ontology, but I'm saying this, Rambam's saying is, I can study the world. The world is rationally intelligible.
And even back to the ultimate purpose of the world, as a scientist.
Well, is that what the whole person...
Well, I go back to the Big Bang, as a scientist.
Like, well, Big Bang is part of eternity, too, because the Big Bang is scientific. If I study the world scientifically, then I can see a purpose, scientifically. But if I try to understand the world ethically, why God created the world, I can understand. Ethics is infinite. Anyway, I think we're coming to an end. I'm sorry that we have not been able to go through the chapter, but believe me, the chapter has many, many more surprises. And this is only the beginning of the big surprises in the chapter. In Mir Hashem, we will continue with chapter 25. Until then, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim of HaKodesh, welcome to our new set of Shiurim, and Kol Tov until next week. Be well.